Settle in, children, for another episode of Sokonori. Wrap up tight, children, and get in your little bedclothes and put your little nightcaps on.
I've got my fluffiest slippers on.
Slippers? You can't go to bed in slippers.
Like the sock slippers, like the big
or,
socks.
Or you could be like sitting down by the fire for like a bedtime story before you go up to bed. Maybe that's what's happening.
Yeah. Having a nice hot chocolate to get you all hyped up.
Yeah, full of sugar and marshmallows. Didn't understand how to do it, did we? No, it's time for another of our favourite book. It is Soccer's Strangest Matches by Andrew Ward. It's a thing that we like to call Sokonori. And this week, it is a story called Soccer Sickness, which we've both got. We've got soccer fever. This is Liverpool, January 1902. We're into the 1900s now. This is when technological advantage are going to be coming in.
That lines, goal
lines. You didn't ever play without lines before that.
They've played for a long time without crossbars, so it wouldn't surprise me.
That is true. Do you know, after we did the last episode about the big fat goalie, I looked up a bit more about him. He was an interesting fellow. You know how bundling the goalkeeper, this is really off topic, but you know how bundling the goalkeeper into the goal used to be legal?
Yes.
Like
they used to
catch it and then the strikers would just push him into the goal and that was fine. No one could do that to him. That was why he was so successful, because he was giant. I don't think it came up in the story, but one of the sites that I read about him, he said he was 6'10".
Wow.
In those days, in the 1890s.
When I was younger, I used to read Horrible Histories.
Yep, same.
Classic.
Yeah.
They did like a spin-off of like sports, and so it's like fun sports facts, and there was a foul football. Uh-huh. And so I went into like the history of football and funny stories and silly things, and that's where I learned facts like they used to play without crossbars and stuff. And there was a story about a goalkeeper who, when he got angry, he would just sit on the ball and nobody could move him off it. And that, I wonder,
that might well have been Big Willie Fork. It might have been. He is legendary, apparently. Like, he's really well known. There was a quote from him. I think he went to it was when they were sort of when they were calling him name, like he was called Fatty, was his nickname. I don't know if that came up, but that was what his nickname was, William Fatty Fork.
I mean, it's not very inventive.
No, somebody on the internet said that to me as well. He did not have inventive nicknames back then, but he said, "I don't care what they call me, as long as they don't call me late for dinner." What a legend. He also died very young at 42 of cirrhosis of the liver, I think.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. Again, one of those sort of people, wasn't he? Very symbolic of the times. Anyway, this story, Soccer Sickness, Liverpool, January 1902. The Stoke City management made a serious tactical error before the game at Liverpool. They allowed all the players to eat place for lunch. Place, the fish, with an I. After the half-time interval in the game, only 7 Stoke players were fit to resume. Oh dear. When was this? This is before the game. The place. Is that what it says? Yeah.
So
by half-time.
Yeah, 45 minutes later, sounds about right.
Yeah, that's about right. The Stoke secretary, Mr. Austerberry, was very sympathetic. He was as sick as any of them. Fine. I don't know what a secretary... Do you think that was like the manager in those days?
Yeah, maybe.
Like the club secretary is quite an important job in like an amateur team, isn't it?
They have like coach and secretary.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I guess so. Stoke goalkeeper Dick Roos was in distress before the game started. Roos, a Welsh international, was known as an adventurous goalkeeper whose tactics of wandering all over the field were not curbed until the 1912 change of law. I wonder what the law change was.
Stay in your box. Yeah. Get back in your box.
Roos, get away.
So they normally bring in new rules when somebody's taking advantage or has found a loophole.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like, what rule was he breaking, and why is that rule not still in place?
Handling the ball all over the pitch as well, maybe.
Maybe. That would make sense as to why it would be exploitation, wouldn't it? On this day, Roos could only think of wandering off the field as quickly as possible. He lasted just 10 minutes, by which time Stoke were a goal behind. So, he's a goalkeeper.
Yeah. And after 10 minutes, he was like, I gotta go, lads.
And no subs, I don't think, in those days. So, the quote is, who wants to go in goal, lads? Come on, someone will have to go in. Meredith was the unlucky Stoke player appointed as the deputy goalkeeper. For the rest of the half, during which time he conceded 3 goals, that's not too bad as a backup goalkeeper. Meredith made frantic gestures to indicate he would be happier out of goal.
Right, okay.
His captain, Johnston, merely flashed back encouraging smiles.
You're doing great.
He was probably like, I could play rush goalie. Rush goalie, please. Did you play rush goalie?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say. You looked at me blank there for a second.
No, I was going to say, he's like, I'm coming out of goal. If you don't change me, I'm just coming out of the goal. Like, you're doing great. Well done.
Everyone staying up front as far away from the goal as you could. Done it. At halftime, the busiest man in the dressing room was Dr. Moody, a Stoke director, who examined most of the players and detected signs of lead poisoning. Jesus Christ.
Whoa. What was in the fit? Well, lead.
I think we can work it out, can't we? Moody had made his own way to the ground and had therefore escaped the midday meal. It's lucky, isn't it? Or was it? Did he poison him?
Just made himself more work. Yeah. Job for life.
One of the foremost lead specialists in the world. Roos and Ashworth were the most afflicted of the Stoke players. Who was Ashworth? Did I say about Ashworth?
No, it's one of those times he's dropped in another name.
Picked up a name out of nowhere. Who is Ashworth? Roos and Ashworth were the most afflicted of the Stoke players, and it was apparent that they would take no further part in the match. Dr. Moody also recommended that Watkins and Whitehouse remain in the dressing room.
Yep.
It's quite unusual to just drop in second names.
Yes, as if you know them.
Yeah, that's normally, once you've introduced somebody, you could then introduce them as a single name. Who is Watkins? Who is Whitehouse? Who could that be? The only two people in the Stoke party seemingly unaffected were the two trainers who had passed over the fish at lunchtime. So I guess they narrowed it down to the fish from that.
Yep.
Dr. Moody was left in no doubt about the seriousness of the illnesses. He later said, in fact, the dressing room resembled the cabin of a cross-channel steamer in bad weather and smelt like it, only more so. Jesus Christ.
It smelt like that. But more like that.
You know, like a cross-channel steamer, you know.
But more so. Like two cross-channel steamers.
One on top of the other. No, it works. Stoke started the second half with 7 players. They played with a goalkeeper, still Meredith, 1 back, 2 halves, and 3 forwards.
Still plumping for the attack.
Really going for it.
They'll get back into it, I suppose, haven't they?
And did quite well, too. There was a short spell when Liverpool failed to score.
That led
me to believe that they've done a lot better than previous sentence.
Yeah, scored.
But one back.
So sarky bastard. It really is.
Sometimes they didn't score against them. 2 halves. What are halves, do you think? Are they talking centre halves?
Oh, do you think that means goalkeeper?
So I think these are outfield players. They've got a goalkeeper, 1 back, 2 halves and 3 forwards. That's 7.
Because we normally call them centre halves as they're your centre backs, aren't
they? Yeah, centre backs, yeah.
So 2 halves.
But they used to have outside half and inside half, didn't they, in the old days? And I don't know what position that is. Was outside half a right back today? Or
oh, that'd be like, why wouldn't you just use left and right?
That's what you'd think, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Well, I think
outside
Martin,
of what?
Yeah, that's a good point. Would you be the right outside half than the left outside half? Seems a bit complicated. Yeah. Really. But formations were really different in those days.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't. They don't make any sense to come like modern formations.
No.
To be fair, even like today's formations are different to what the formations were in the 90s, aren't they? They're different positions that they didn't have in those days.
No CDMs. Well, you do have CDMs, but you don't call them
CDMs. Them that anymore, do they? Like the holding midfield or the like whatever Pirlo's, the deep lying playmaker. Like Pirlo. Yeah, very different these days. Blah 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 blah. There's a short spell where Liverpool failed to score. While people were beginning to debate at what point the game might be abandoned, with the two missing forwards, Watkins and Whitehouse, which we didn't know were forwards
before
this point, but they were apparently. So now they've got five forwards and two at the back. Gallantly reappeared against doctor's orders. Goalkeeper Roos, meanwhile, who had a pulse rate of 148 a minute. That's quite high, isn't it?
It's very high.
Yeah. When he left the field, would need a few hours rest to recover. So
from lead poisoning.
Give it a couple of runs. Just run it off, you'll be all right. In his absence, Liverpool scored some soft goals. Not until the sixth went in did Meredith have his wish granted. Clark took over in goal at that point.
New name?
Yeah, no idea who Clark is. Was he a half? Was he a forward? No one knows.
What, was he already out there? Has he come back out?
Who
we don't
knows?
Know.
Who knows? Was he suffering with lead poisoning? I assume so.
Is he even a Stoke player?
Who knows? Might be the ball boy. That was another thing about Willie Falk. He was the guy who caused ball boys to be indented because he refused to go and get the ball. Not be asked. If a ball went out, he was like, somebody else is going to have to get it. So they invented ball boys for him. Isn't that amazing?
That is quite a claim to fame.
I love that. They should be called Willie boys. Oh, that sounded worse than I thought it was going to be. The final total was 7. So Clark did quite well. He ended at the one in.
One.
Well, I don't know how late he went in, to be fair. Not Stoke's favourite number. They had 7 fit men, conceded 7 goals, and lost the next 7 games.
Whoa.
Now, was that to do with the lead poisoning still? I don't think you recover from lead poisoning very quickly.
But this doctor thinks otherwise.
A couple of hours rest, you'll be all right.
That's why they lost the next 7 games, because they're out on the pitch with lead poisoning.
Yeah. Or maybe being fed lead before the games. Yeah. That doesn't seem to be working very well.
Oh, my heart hurts.
I got to be a baked potato.
I don't know, it's Jeopardy.
See ya, suckers.